Daf is Daf Kuf Chaf Hey. So we got the last five lines of Kuf Chaf Daud Amin Beis. The Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Megufas Chavis Shenichtesa. If you remove the cover of a barrel of some sort, Mutal Talat B'Shabbos you're allowed to move it. It's not Muksa. Why is it not Muksa? Because Rashi explains here. I think Rashi explains because it's still right. It's right. Rashi says later on that you're able to use it to cover something up. So since you removed it, you can still use it to cover it back up. Tani Namihachi, the Braisa says the same thing. Magufa shenichlata hi vishvareha. It itself and even the broken parts are mutla talta b'Shabbos. You could also move it on Shabbos. And here Rashi clearly says vishvareha, two lines up. Shalchavis nit talin b'Shabbos dechazul kisvei mano. You're able to cover some type of utensil. And the Gemara adds, "V'lo yispos mimenu shever lechasos basically." You shouldn't yispos. Yispos means, says Rashi, "Yitaken lahasir blitosav v'uksa b'Shabbos." You know, it breaks off. It's not a very smooth break. There are always little things sticking out, so you can't kind of shave it down, smooth it out, because that is the avid cleave avi makbepate. So if you take the cover off, you could reuse it, but make sure not to smoothen the sides, otherwise that'd be makbe patish. And the Gemara says further, again, lo yispos mimenu shever lechasos basakli v'lismoch ba kiri hamita, in order to use it to hold up the bed, to even out the bed if it's a little uneven. Vimzarka ba'ash, but if, however, you throw it in the garbage after you remove the cover of the jug, you threw it into the garbage, and then usr, because you're megaladaito, that you're not interested in using the item anymore, it's mukso. So the Gemara asks on this last piece here about throwing in the garbage, maskevla rav papa elamiyat, if that's the case, zarek leilegleimei. If a person takes his shirt and throws in the garbage, would that be able to make a muksa? A shirt's a shirt. A shirt's never muksa. Just because a guy throws in the garbage, that itself doesn't make it muksa. It's bata daito eto kaladam. His das doesn't make a difference to the chefs of being a non-muksa object. So Gemara tweaks that last piece here. Ela amar papa, top line of kuf chafei. Imzarka mi ba'od yom la'ashba asur. If he threw it into the garbage before Shabbos, so then that clearly makes it not a mana, not a kli anymore. The difference is because we know muks is based on what the status was when Shabbos began. And since this initially was not thrown in the garbage, it was a part of a chavis, and even though he broke it off, it still has a usage, his das does not have the ability to render it muksa. But if, however, he threw in the garbage before Shabbos, he established it to be muksa before Shabbos, so then that would, einachanami, that would be muksa. So the Gemara doesn't answer that, but seemingly if a guy throws it in the beged, it would seemingly be true. But the Gemara doesn't answer that. It's a very good question. I don't know. I didn't see it inside. I didn't look into it enough. So they actually quote down here, if you throw a beged, mibod yom, that would not be mevatel from Toas beged. So what's the answer exactly to a papa? So just they end up quoting here. It's a whole long shtickle here. So it's a good question. Yes, we have to, I can't go through it right now, I guess. So the Gemara then says, Amar bar hamaduri, Amar Shmuel. Chromios shel machatzelos. If you have machatzelos, a type of mat made of reeds or some type of wood, so you have little wood chips that came off, that shaved off this type of mat. So the din is that mutar l'taltel b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move this on Shabbos, even the little wood chips and shavings. My taima. Amarava bar hamadurai asparali hamachatzelos gufa l'may chazir l'chasuyi be afra. What's the function of a mat? You put a mat to cover the dirt, and you walk into the house, and no one steps on the dirt. It's to cover something. Hachanami chazir lekasuye bo tinofes. So these wood chippings, shavings and chips that break off the machzas are also roy not to cover all the dirt, but it's able to cover something that's disgusting, and therefore since it can be still used to cover something, then it's considered not muksa as well. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav, shiare prozomios, they have some leftovers from cloth, aser letaltel b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos, so why not? So Abaye Bimatlanis She'ein Behen Shalosh Al Shalosh Dilochazin Lo La'anim Lo La'ashim. If you remember from the second parak, that what's the size of a beged that's considered a kli, that's considered metame, has to be 3x3 etzbos, right? 3x3. If it's less than 3x3 etzbos, that's not fit for an usher, nor is it even fit for a ani. It's some type of rag that's worthless, and therefore that's not a kli and would be muksa. But had it been a larger size than that, even though it may have broken off a larger piece of cloth, that would have a purpose. You could use it to whatever you need to use it for, and that would not be muksa. But this is particularly a case where it's smaller than 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, and that's why it's muksa. Gemara now says, Vayitu tanur rabbanan, shivrei tanur yashan, if you have the broken pieces of an old oven, harehein kechol hakelim hanitalim b'chatzer, it's like any other kli that can be used on Shabbos, not a problem of muksa, divrei Rebbe Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Nitalon, you're not allowed to move it. And the Gemara is going to try to figure out what type of Tanner we're talking about exactly. But there's Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, whether you could use Shivrei, rather move Shivrei Tanner Yashan, an old, a broken piece of an old oven. So then the Gemara says, and this piece will wait till the end, Heyed Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Al Shivrei Tanner Yashan, he had testified about broken pieces of an old oven, shenitalin b'Shabbos, you can move them on Shabbos. Ve'al kisuyo she'no tzarech beis yadin, to remove the cover, you don't need there to be a handle to move the cover. If it's a cover, that cover has a function and is not muksa, even though it does not have a handle, that's still considered movable on Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to focus on the first part of the Braisa, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not you can move shivrei tanur yashem. So, b'mai kemithli, what's the machlokas? So, Amar Abayi says, be'osin me'ein malacha, ve'inosin me'ein malachtan kemithli. We saw this yesterday's daf, that it's able to still be used as a malacha, but not the same exact malacha as before, a different function. So again, be'osin me'ein malacha, it does a malacha, but ve'inosin me'ein malachtan, it doesn't do its own malacha, what it was initially meant for. Ve'oz the Rabbi Yehuda latameh, and Rabbi Meir latameh. We saw this yesterday, that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says you could only use a shivrei kelim if it's doing the same exact purpose as was the actual kli. Rabbi Meir says no, as long as it has some function, even though the function might be different. So here, the shivrei taner can be used for some other malacha, whether it's to cover something. So that is me'ein malacha, but not me'ein malachtan. That's the machlokas. So Gemara says, if that's the machlokas, about just a general discussion of broken pieces of something, of doing it in a malacha, although not the same one, maskevla rava, ihachi, that's the case, ademiflagi b'shivrei taner, from the fact they're arguing on a broken piece of an oven, why are they so specific? This is a more general discussion, liflagu b'chol b'shivrei kelim b'alma, just talk about in general. When you have a keli that breaks, can that broken keli, it's a different function, is it muksa or not muksa? Nothing to do with a taner. It's not unique to a taner. It's something that applies to all shivrei kelim. So the very fact that they're honing in on the shivrei taner must be that they're arguing about something different, something more specific. So what is that? So Ella Amar Rava says, Bishivrei Dehai Tanur Kemifli, the broken piece of this particular tanner, which we're going to describe now, as described here in the Mishnah in Meseches Kelim. What's the Mishnah that they're arguing about? The Mishnah in Kelim talks about Nasnu al Piabor o al Piados. You take an oven, the ovens were not so big, and you kind of jam it into a pit. Now a bor and a dos, a bor is a dirt made bor, and a dos is where it's been lined with cement or rocks or stone. So you're kind of jamming the oven inside this bor. And what you're doing now here is, the Gemara says, v'nashan sham oven. You place an oven to wedge it in. You want it to stick. So there's a little space in between the oven and the walls of the bor. So you put a rock in to jam it in so it stays there. So now that's the metzias. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im masik milamata v'hu nisok milamala. If you, let's say, light a fire on the bottom of the bor, and that fire is able to now generate heat into the oven as well, that's tummy. That's called a kli. We'll see why that is in just a second. And the tanur is subject to tuma. Vimlav, if you're not able to, the oven is too far away from the bor. So either the bottom of the bor is too far away, or the walls, you have to take a huge rock to jam it in. That means the walls of the bor might get hot, but it's too far away to get the oven hot. So the only way to get the oven hot is by putting fire inside the oven. It won't be able to generate heat from the bor itself. So it's not as close to the bor. If that's so far away from the bor, that's tahor. Why is that? So there's a din we'll see in the pasuk. I'll just say this outside and we'll read this together. The pasuk tells us that that a tanur b'kiraim yutatz, if you detach it from the ground, that's a way to make it tahor, to break it from the ground. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's so far from the bor that it doesn't get heat from the bor, it needs its own self-generated heat, that's called yutatz. It's already broken from the ground. That's too far from the ground already, and that's already tahor. In other words, if I've got a tanur that's on the floor here, it's tameh. The way to be metaher is to break it off the ground. Now it's not called a taner anymore, and therefore it's tahor. So this taner that's suspended in the bor, if the rock is so big that there's such a gap between the walls of the bor and the walls of the oven, that means it's not generating heat from the bor. That's already considered netitza. That's already cut off and would be tahor.
Those tanurim have floor?
Or no floor. No floor. The ground is the floor. So normally you put it down on the ground and then you put the fire in the oven. Here it's a little bit suspended, but it's jammed in. So the question is, how attached to the surrounding bor does it need to be? So Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's very close to the bor, whether the walls or the bottom, that's considered a regular tanur, and therefore would be subject to tumah. But if you need a big rock that's far away from the walls of the bor, that's not called the tanur. That's already called netitza, and then that's the Gemara says, vim lav tahor, would be tahor. Chachamim Omrim, they say back and say, no, hold the husak mikamakum tame. I don't care whether the heat's coming from the boor or the heat's coming from within the oven itself. Since you're using the oven, that's called the tanner, that's called an oven, and therefore it's subject to tumah regardless of the proximity to the boor. So what's this machlok? So this is the machlokus of the Mishnah and Kalim. So what's the nature of this machlokus of the Mishnah and Kalim? Ubemai kimithlagi, b'haikra. In the following pasuk, it says, tanner v'chirayim yutatz tmeim heim, u'tmeim yelachem. If you have a oven, a tanner, kiraim, different size ovens, depending how many pots you could put in them, so then if it becomes tamei, you're supposed to yutatz, you're supposed to break it, detach it, and that makes it tahor. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, he holds mechusar netitza tamei. If the tanner is something that lacks netitza, it lacks the detachment, meaning it's still attached to the ground, that's a tanner, that's tamei. Only when you do netitza, when you remove it, does it become tahor. But that which she'ein mechusar netitza, that which does not lack detaching, already is detached from the ground, it's already broken from the ground already, that's already tahor. So this, since this case, where the oven is not, even if you light a fire in the boor, that heat will not affect the tanner because it's so far away, even though it's kind of suspended and jammed in, it's such a big rock that's not getting any heat from the boor, the ground of the boor, that's already called netitza. That's not mechusar netitza, that is netitza already, and therefore that's tahor. That's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Mishnah. And Rabbanan Savri, Timeim Yehelachem, the pasuk says, Mikol Makom. They're Tamei, no matter how it gets heat, whether it's getting heat from within itself, getting heat from the boar, its tanner, its functions to create heat and to cook things, and therefore it would be Tamei entirely. So that's how we understand it. So we'll get back to everything in just a second. Rabbanan Nami Haksiv Yutatz, but don't they also have the Yutatz? Doesn't that imply that if it's detached already, if it's not getting heat from the boar, that's already Tahor? So the Gemara says, it's a little bit confusing now, Hahu, that word yutatz is not telling us that the din of Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's detached, that's not considered, not considered kli. He says, of course, typically a kli, the way tumah normally works is, a kli is matame, that which is mechubah l'karka is not tame. My house cannot become tame, it's mechubah l'karka. Only kelim can become matame. So how come this tanur, which is attached to the ground typically, how in general is that allowed to become tamei? It's mechubah l'karka. So that's what we learn from the word yutatz. That word yutatz, he says, hahu is le'idak yisa, to teach me the opposite direction, which means, the sarka daitech, I mean, I would have thought, kevan dechabe ba'ara, since a tanur is typically attached to the ground, it should be kegufa da'ara dami, should be like the ground itself, and should be tahor. Kamashmal on that note, even though it's attached to the ground, it's still subject to tumah. Yutat, by detaching it, makes it tahor. That's a chiddush by a tanner. Every other type of mechubah l'karka is tahor. A tanner is unique, that when it's mechubah l'karka, it's tameh. Yutat, detaching it, makes it tahor. But that's not to say, however, if the tanner is already yutat, it's already a kli, that's tahor. No, what Rabbi Chacham say, whether the tanner is attached or even detached, no matter how, regardless of how you use it, if it's used as metaltlin, or if it's used as a mechubah l'karka, both of them are considered a tanur, and would be subject to tumah. This is the chiddush. Fine. Now, idach nami, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, no, if an oven is detached from the ground already, it's already tahor. So how does he learn the pasuk v'idach nami haksiv timeim yulachem the tamei, which sounds like it's an extra phrase, but including more possibilities of tumah. What does he do with this pasuk? Hahu, ki Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Damar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, machlokes behesek rishon. This whole debate here, when you're suspending this oven over the boar, where they're arguing about, is only the first time you fire up the oven. That very first hesek rishon. But aval behesek sheni, if you use the oven in a normal case, in your house, that first hesek rishon was normal, that means the tanner had a chalosh shem tanner, and then the hesek sheni, the second time you're using it, you're actually suspending it in the boar now, that second case, so then that's really the machlokas, he says. That's tamet, meaning this whole debate is only about hesek sheni.
Hesek but if, rishon would be, everybody would agree that what?
It's tower, tamet rather, meaning if hesek rishon, this whole debate, he says, is only of this Mishnah, when they're suspending it, is only with respect to hesek rishon. But let's say hesek rishon was done in my house in the regular way. And then the second time I'm using it, or some additional time, I'm putting it in the boor, that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree is tamei. Because since the initial time I used this tanner was in the proper manner, it has a chalosh shem tanner no matter how and where I use it the very next case.
You could say that way around, that the fact that you're taking it off, it's stopping to be a tanner because it loses the ground. No, but it must have some kind of a floor, otherwise it doesn't have a base keyboard.
the I'm not sure how you cook things. Maybe you could put things, you know, on the oven and the walls.
Yeah, them on the wall.
Could be that also.
Yeah, we have that
could
be.
But see, certainly it seems like Tanur is different than other kalim. But that's a good question. So once you do Hetzik Rishon and you do Netitza, now put it in the boar. Maybe the point is once you reattach it to the boar, even with a large oven, that becomes the mechubar lekarka. I'm not sure. These things are a little bit esoteric for me. So either way, he says so it's coming to teach me that what's Tmeim Yulachem teaching me? That only Rabbi Huda says it's Tar by Hezek Rishon. But if it's the Hezek Sheni that they're suspending on top of the boar, even he'll agree it's Tameh. That's what Tmeim Yulachem comes to include. The Gemara says this whole conversation was very, very nice, but it's not really relevant. Sorry, not yet. We'll see that in a second. But then the Gemara says, Afilu Tali B'Tzavar Gamal. If that's the case, even if it's hanging from the neck of a gummel, it should be tame. I mean, once you establish a tanner to be a tanner, until you actually break it, not detach it, until you actually break it, no matter where you're hanging from, it's going to be tame. So Amar Ula Ula says, Hesek Rishon Rabbanan Afilo Taloi B'Tzavar Gamal. And even for Rabbanan, no matter where you have this for the initial firing up of the oven, if it's hanging from the neck of a camel, that too would be considered tame according to the Rabbanan. So either way, what are we doing from all this? So we're trying to say that this machlokus connects to machlokus of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, about moving it on Shabbos. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that this tanur is not makabel tumah, so he says it's not called a kli, this type of tanur, and therefore that's why you can't move it, and certainly the broken part you can't move. But according to Chacham, who thinks that the tanur would be considered a tumah, it's matame, and therefore it would be a kli, only kelim or matame, so too it's a kli legabe hilcha Shabbos, and you would be able to move it. So the Gemara says, after establishing this, that maskiv la ravashi, ihach, if that's the case, ademiflagi b'shivrei tanur, liflagu b'tanur gufo. From the fact they're arguing about the broken piece of the tanur, the initial discussion, why talk about the shivrei tanur? Talk about the tanur itself, the oven itself, whether the oven can be moved or not. The shivrei tanur is the next conversation. Hashta tanur gufo the Rabbi Yehuda lo haviman. If the tanur itself for Rabbi Yehuda is not a kli, certainly shvarav mibar, you have to tell me that he holds the shivarim, the broken parts, are not a kli either. So that can't be the conversation. So again, very nice learning of Mishnah and Kalim, but back to our sugya. The Gemara says, really, we're talking about a thing very focused on Hilchos Shabbos. El amar Rav Ashi liolam kedamar meikar. Really, the initial machlok is about a regular tanur, the shivrei tanur yashan. So what's the debate? Be'osa maisa tafka. It's talking about a situation where now the broken piece of this old oven could be used to bake. But now it's not baking in the typical way. It's baking in a slightly different way. So it does a malacha, but not malachtan, not the same exact malacha. It's slightly different. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir, the Devar Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Shita himself holds, as long as the Shivrei Kalim, Shivrei Tana could do some malacha, it's fine. In the world of Rabbi Yehuda, has to be me'ein lachtan from the same exact malacha. So now, this osen maisa tafsa, you could do some type of baking in it, but not the same way. It's similar to an oven, but slightly different. It's a different method, but still baking something. So Rabbi Meir says, l'dvar l'Rabbi Yehuda, in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, who requires me'ein malachtan, kamar. He says, because l'didi, for me, Rabbi Meir, myself personally, afilu b'osen me'ein malacha, as long as it does some malacha, I'm fine. But el didach, according to you, that you need the same exact malacha, you should admit, admit to me though, mia dekia gavna malachtahu. This type of thing, where the broken oven, the pieces can be used for a similar type of cooking process, you should admit to me, this should be considered a kli and not muksa. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo, dami, it's not similar. This osa maisa tafka is different than an actual tanner. How so? Hasam there by a tanner has seiko mibifnim. The fire is from the inside of the oven. Hacha here by this type of maisa tafka, it's haseiko mibuchutz. The fire is on the outside. Number two difference. Hasam mu'umar by the tanner, it bakes it while it's standing up, that you put it against the walls of the oven. Hacha here, lav mu'umar, you don't place it standing up, rather you lie down flat on the board. And therefore, since even though they both cook, but at the end of the day, the maisa afiyah is done differently in two different ways, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would think this would not be considered me'im lachtam and would be muksa. Okay. Gemara now says, before we get to the new Mishnah, Heyed Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we saw this above. Al shivrei tanur yashan shenitalan b'shabbos. You can move the broken piece of an old oven. And v'al kisuyav sheno tzarech beis yad. You can remove the cover even if it does not have a handle. So Amar Ravina. Ravina says, keman metatzlin ha'inna. Like who'd we hold nowadays that allows you to move such a type of cover? Kisuy de tanur de masamachsya. The oven covers that are used in this the big city masamachsya. Who says you're allowed to? De'ein lam beis achisa, and they have no handle. candle. This must be, come on, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, like we just saw. Okay, so we see apparently this was the practice, at least in the city of Machsia. So the mission tells us now in the last two lines of Amud Aleph. Ha'even shebikireha. So if you have a rock, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ha'even shebikireha, bikeruya, rather, delas yevesha. You have a dried out gourd. Chalula, it's been hollowed out, and there's a little cavity inside. Umimalan b'mayim, you use it to kind of as a pitcher or as a pail to draw up some water. Umitoch shikala, since it's very light, eino shreves, it doesn't sink. Elatzafa, you put a gourd, apparently a hollow gourd, it's going to just flow on top. You're not going to lower down to lift up water. So what you have to do is nosin ba'even lachbida, you place a rock to give it some weight. It's going to fall to the bottom, and then you, when it goes by, you kind of pull it up with a little pulley, with a little string. So this even that's placed in bikeruya in mimalimba, if you're able to fill it up, the enonof else, and the rock won't fall out, meaning the rock becomes part of the gourd, then mimalimba, you're allowed to use this on Shabbos, it's allowed. Vim lab, if not, if the rock's going to fall out, ain mimalin, but you can't move it. Why? Because this rock, if the rock becomes part of it and stuck to the gourd, that becomes a cleat. But if it's not stuck to the gourd, it's going to fall out, then it's going to be just a regular rock, and that rock's going to now render the gourd a bussis to carrying a rock, and since it's able to be moved off, and that would be also to move on Shabbos. That's the mitzias. The mission now says in Amun Beis here, that if you have a zamora, shikshura b'tafiach, you have a little grapevine that you tied, tafiach, some type of pail that you lower down using the grapevine to pull up the water. So this too, mimalim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to use it to fill up water in the pail on Shabbos. And furthermore, a pekak, which is a window of some sort, pekak hachalon, a window or closing up a hole in the wall. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bizmanshu kasher, if the hole, the cover to the window is attached to the house, vitali, and it's suspended, it's hanging, so then you're allowed to use it to keep closing it. So again, I don't know, I have no tears exactly, but there's a window that gets removed and puts back in. So if there's a little string attached to the window, you can put it back in. However, the window is not stuck to it. It's not. You remove it entirely. You put it back in. He felt that would be considered an issue of building a binyan. So you would not be able to if it's not attached to the house. And then the Chacham argue, and they say that Omer Ben Kach Apokigimbo, Chacham don't think it makes a difference if it's attached or not attached. It's understood that this is simply a hosafa on the adding to an already existing binyan, and that would be allowed on Shabbos even if it's not attached to the house. So let's go through the Gemara now. Hatan Hassan, the Mishnah says, Evan Sha'al Pi Hachavis. If you have a rock that's on top of a chavis, Mat al Tseida Vinofelis. You could just flip it over and knock the rock off. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Ela B'Shochech. This is only true if you forgot it, if it was accidentally placed on top of the chavis. Aval B'Meniach, if you intentionally place the rock on top, Nase Basis L'Davar Aser. This chavis actually serves as a basis, as a base for the rock. And the din of basis is that rock now makes the chavis in davar iser, and you cannot move the chavis because it becomes a basis. Like if you have candles on your table and you place it there on Shabbos, you want to move your table, you can't move your table because the candles is the davar iser, and it now makes the table into a basis. That table, even though the table itself is mutter, but when something mukzah is on top of a table or the like, it makes that table also an extension and would be aser. So if that's only true if you did it intentionally. If you forgot and left the rock there not realizing in the various dinim of basis, that would not make the chavis a basis. The rock is aser, but the chavis isn't aser. So if you flip the chavis and turn over the rock, you touch it, you move it and tilt it on the tzad, so the rock is off and the chavis is a completely mutter. However, comes along Rav Yosef, Amar Be'asi, Amar Be'yochanan, Lo Shanu El B'Shochech, he learns differently. The only time you need to tilt the rock off is if you forgot it there. Aval B'Meniach, if you place it on there, he actually says if you place it, it's actually mutter, it's the complete opposite. He says, Meniach, Nasa Kisa the Chavis. If you put the rock on top, that actually serves as a cover for it, and it wouldn't be mukzer, that'd actually be a kli. So, but you have a Chavis that's open, and you put a little rock to cover it on top of it.
So the case is the habit had no cover.
No cover, exactly, no cover. That's what we would think. But now he says, no, it's serving as a cover. It's open chavis. You put it, I don't know, like a flat sheet of rock maybe, right. A little slate. And you put it on top, it serves as a cover. So according to the Tanakhama, that's actually worse, b'miniach. That makes it a basis. Rav Yosef says, no, that actually makes it into a davar kli. It's into a kli now, it has a function. So we're going to... What?
Maybe the Tanakhama would agree that if it's used for cover,
no, we're going to see in just a second. The machlokas really here is, what does a person have to do to make a rock into a kli? Does it mean a das alone, a machshava, or do you have to actually do a maisa? So Rav Yosef clearly holds simply just putting it down. even though I didn't change anything to the rock itself, my machshava is sufficient. So Gemara says that Amar Rabba Mosvinan Ashmaisen. Let's ask a question based on our sugi above. Should be kireha. The evidence is in the kiruya. It's in the gourd. Im mimalim bav einu nafel. If you, when you lift up, you draw the water, the rock doesn't fall out. So then you're allowed to be mimalim bav. You're allowed to use it. So we see from here clearly that a rock inside something is used as a kli. It doesn't make it a basis based on the case of the gourd. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say here, Rabbi Ami quoting Rabbi Yochanan say that beminiach makes it a basis? So the Gemara says lohi. It's not the same case. Hasam, kaven dahadaka, shavya dofin. By the case of the gourd, the rock is wedged in, it's tightly placed there, so it becomes part of the kli, part of the walls of the gourd. But here, it's not tight, it just lies on top of it, it could easily fall off, and therefore it does not become batel to the kli. So Amar of Yosef, umosvinan ashmaisen, let's ask a question. Im lav, the second part of the statement of the Mishnah was, if the rock does not stay tight in the gourd, ein mimalimba, you can't use it. So we see from here, if you can't use it, you can't move it at all, how come above do we say the rock, you could tilt it over? Okay, we're talking a case where the rock isn't wedged in. So now, the gourd, we say you can't use the gourd, it's muks, it's a basis. But here we said, bimatea, you could take the chavis and tilt it over. So can you tilt over something, or can you not tilt something over? And the Gemara says, lohi, that also is not a good equation, because hasim over there, kaven delo hadaka, betule batla, there, if you look at Rashi, just to explain what's going on here, Rashi says, velohi, Velohi lo kashili. This is not a question. The hasim ho belok shira lo chazi lemalas dahanafla. Without tying the rock to the gourd, there's no purpose. You can't draw water. The gourd just won't go down in the water. V'haylav hadakahu. It's not hadak. It's not tightly in. And therefore, betule batle mitarsh kli. There's no kli. There's nothing you could do with this. Galidaite de lo chashiv kli. It was clear that you didn't want this to be a kli. Ava kisui chavis hanacha mashule kli. But there, by putting the rock on top of the chavis, that has a function, it has a purpose, therefore it would be considered kli. So that's the point here, that while by the gourd, without the rock attached to it, the rock has no purpose, the gourd has no purpose, that's entirely muksi, you can't move it. But by the case here, since the rock, the slate, is serving as a cover, that is sufficient to make it into a kli, and therefore it would be allowed. So Gemara says, "Va'azdi l'taymayu." They go according to the reasons in general. The chiaser of dimi amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi La amar Rabbi Zeir amar Rabbi Chanina. Pam achas one time. Pam achas halach Rabbi l'makom echad u'matza nidbach shavan. One time, Rabbi walked to a certain place and he found a number of rocks that were rashes avanim seduros that were laying on top of each other u'muktos lebinyan. They were ready, designated to use as part of a building. So Amar lo tamidav, he says to his tamidim, tzu v'chashu k'dei sh'neishav aleim l'machar. Go have a machshava. I want you to make it not muksa. Just think about it that we're going to sit down tomorrow. V'lo hitzricha rabbi l'maisa. He says, you didn't have to change the rock, do maisa to the rock. Just have a machshava. These rocks I want to use to sit on tomorrow for shir. And the machshava was certainly sufficient. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar hitzricha rabbi l'maisa. No, he actually did require them to do a maisa. So my, how do you know this? He said, Amar Lahu, Rabbi Ami, Amar, what he told his Tamidim was Tsu Vilamdam. What does Tsu Vilamdam mean? Rashi says, Tsu Vilamdam, Sidru Osama, organize them, Veshivu, Heshivum, place them down, Kadei Shalom Nitzarech Liga Behem Lamachar. Meaning move them before Shabbos so we could sit on them, so we don't have to move them tomorrow. Lefisha Ein Hazmana Bemaisa, you can't change them, but it's simply a Hazmana, just designating them, Koldu, Moelis, Le'evin, Lasosakli, you need to do a real Maisa. So therefore, what he said was that by moving them before Shabbos, now you could sit on them. You could sit on a car if you wanted on Shabbos, as long as you don't move it. So you move the rocks before Shabbos, because if you don't move them before Shabbos, then they're muksa. So we see that a machshava wasn't sufficient. So then, Amar Luhu Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi says, Amar, he said that, told them, Tzu v'shifshifam, go out and clean them off. Rashi says, shifshifam minatit shehu naos le'eshev, clean them so they should be comfortable and clean to sit on. Ulamachar tilmudum demaisa koldu nasakli. By a small little action of rubbing and cleaning the rock, that is enough to no longer make a muksa. So Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Barton Shol, Amar, Soar, so we see this whole debate here about is it a machshava sufficient or do you need some type of maisen? It's brought down the halacha as well. What does a person need to do to actually change the status of something from making it non-muksa? So that's the debate here, is the debate above by simply putting it on top of the chavis. Is that sufficient of a maisa, enough of a maisa to make it no longer muksa or not? That's the same debate here. The Gemara now says,
or it's only
it's
you don't need machshava. You can just use it for the right thing.
That is certainly true.
Right.
But if you want to use something to make a klish lamachtel iser for a klish lamachtel heter, you want to designate your hammer to make it now just for nuts, so it's always a klish lamachtel heter, the nafkamina being you want to use it mihamel etzel, that's a big nafkamina. So then that, I believe that is enough to do, you need to do a maisa there. But for an Evan, which is a machmas gufa, that is enough to have machshava, I believe. So Gemara then says, Itamar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amar Soar Shel Koros Hava. That case was actually not rocks, it was actually a bunch of lumber. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul Amar Goshesh Shel Sfina Hava. It was actually a mound of Rashi explains here, like ore that they used to use to poke around when they go in the boat to make sure nothing was in the way, no rocks, they won't hit any icebergs. So that was either gushes or was a mound of logs. So what's the nafkamina? So Gemara says, man damer gushes, the one who holds that was an ore that they're allowed to, this was the case they're talking about, koshkein soar. So certainly soar, the same din would apply to the discussion of machshava being sufficient or a little maisa. But the one who holds man damer soar, that was just a pile of logs, a pile of beams, about gushes kapitale. But it would not apply to a gushes because since people are makbid on the usage of an ore, because muksa machmas chesam kis, this discussion wouldn't be relevant to muksa machmas chesam kis, only would be relevant to muksa klisha machto le'isr. Let's go a little bit further now. The Gemara says, Zmora shik shura v'chulu. It said in the Mishnah, if you had a little vine, a little grapevine that was tied to a pail, you could lower it down to draw up some water. So Gemara says, kshur in, only if it's tied. But lo, kshur lo, if it's not tied, then you would not be allowed to, you cannot fill up this type of a pail on Shabbos. It would be considered muksa machmas gufo, this tfiach. So lema, masnis, and let's suggest, the lo k'rabi shimon in Gamliel. It's not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why not? The tanya, charyos shel dekel shigdar le'itzim. If you have some dried pieces of palm leaves or something, so you want to tie them before Shabbos, so then... Nimlachalem, so if you cut them before Shabbos, you tie them before Shabbos, but Nimlachalem, then you decide afterwards, Li Yeshiva, you want to use them to sit on top of these piles, these bundles of dry leaves, Tzarech Likshur, you need to now tie them up in order to do some type of Maisa to establish that they're not Muksa. But comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ain Tzarech Likshur, you don't need to. It's enough to have Machshava. So again, I've got a pile of leaves here, just meant to be stored away. So you know what? This is actually a good couch for me to sit on Shabbos. So Tana Kama says, you want to make this new couch, tie something around it, that maisa makes it into a kli. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't need a kshira. My machshava that I want to use this as a couch tomorrow, that's sufficient. So just like by the case of the leaves, you don't need to tie it around. Here as well, by the tefiach, to use this tefiach to draw something up, you don't need to tie do maisa to it. The fact that I've got a machshava that I want to use this tefiach of some sort for drawing up water, that's or the zemora to draw up some water, it's sufficient to have a machshava. So Gemara says, not true. Amr of Sheshes, Afilu Tema, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would require perhaps a kshira in the case of his zmora. Why? Why by the case of the leaves you don't require kshira, but by the zmora you do require kshira? He said, because hacha, maaskin, and the case here is b'mechuberes ba'aviha. We're talking about where the vine is actually still attached to the ground. So when it's attached to the ground, it requires more of a maisa to undo the state of muksa. When something is detached from the ground, like the dried out leaves, okay, it's not attached to the ground, so machshav is enough. But when it's attached to the ground, that's more muksa in a person's mind, you need a serious maisa, kshira, in order to establish it's no longer muksa. So Gemara says, ihachi, that's the case. If it's attached to the ground, there's another problem of it being attached to the ground. Ka mishtamish b'mechuba l'karka. You're using something that's attached to the ground. You're not allowed to be mishtamish b'davar mechuba l'karka. You can't climb a tree on Shabbos. You can't use a swing even that's attached to the tree on Shabbos. So how could you use this more on Shabbos? That's just a different issue of forgetting muksa. So Gemara says, no, there's a case of lamata mishlosha, where it's below three tvachim. There's a din that you can't climb on top of a tree on Shabbos. But what about the roots? Sometimes you have roots that go up. Is that considered an extension of the tree? So the Gemara says, if the roots are above three tvachim high, the very big roots, that's actually called part of the tree, and it would be also to step on such roots. If the roots are within three tvachim on the ground, that's considered an extension of the ground. That's walking with a little bump on the way. That's not called mechub l'karka. It's not called at least mishamish, but mechub l'karka. So here as well, what's the case where the vines are low to the ground, they're below three tvachim, it's considered an extension of the ground and not subject to the violation of mishamish, but mechub l'karka. And therefore, the only concern here is really one of muksa, and the way you get around muksa is by tying the Zemara, now that undoes the Muksa status, and you can use it on Shabbos, and even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, although in general he doesn't require Kshira, in this case, he'll agree it does require Kshira. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says, no. Afilu tema betlusha. Even if you want to establish a mishnah to talk about a case where the zmor is already detached, it's no question of mechubah the karka at all. It's really detached. But still, why do you require kshir in this case? Doesn't Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say you don't need a kshir by the case of the dry leaves? So why does he require kshir by the case of the zmor tlusha? Gezeira shema yiktam. There's a concern that he might come to clip it off and fix it. Then when he's tying it together to draw up the pail, he might want to make it smooth. And Rashi says six lines up from the bottom, Gzeira Shema Yiktom, Shema Lamachar, Tielo Arucha. Maybe the Zmor is going to be too long. V'yiktimenu, he's going to snip off part of the end of the vine. Shehu Racha, it's very soft and easily, you could easily cut it. V'nocha Liktom, it just makes it very easy to just snap the vine. V'nimsa Osa Kli, now he's fastened, he completed a Kli on Shabbos. V'chai Mishimachim B'patish. Because so since the vine is so soft on Shabbos, it's likely for a person to come and try to fix it. And therefore, by doing a Kshira before Shabbos, that apparently removes any concern. You already prepared everything you need to prepare before Shabbos, and there's no further concern of using this on Shabbos. Okay, let's just read a little bit further now to get to the last two lines. We had said in the Mishnah that if you want to seal up the window on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer only allowed you to do so if this window that gets detached is tied to the house. And Chacham made no such distinction. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim. Everybody agrees. She'ein osin ol arai b'tchila b'yamtuf. You cannot build a temporary tent on Shabbos, on Yom Tov rather, that's certainly usur. Vein tzarech lomar b'Shabbos, and needless to say, on Shabbos, which is always more chomer, legabe melacha, certainly you cannot build an ohel on Shabbos. But lo nechlaku, they only argue about ella lehosif, to add on to an already existing binyan, to add on to an already existing ohel. Shirebi Eliezer Omer ain mosif in b'yamtav, you cannot add on to an existing ohel, and certainly, needless to say, ain tzarech lomar b'Shabbos. However, Chachamim Omer that no mosifin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to add on to Shabbos. Ve'ein tzarech lomar b'yamtav. And needless to say, if you could add on Shabbos, you could certainly add on to an existing ohel on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a meaningful fast, and Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.